Misha Olo Itewa, Itevene, sempre bacalada del Manavene. Se ci picchia quando si è bacalada, picchiami.
Hey, this is Gerald Celente. Welcome to Trends This Week. And that's one of my favorites, Louis Prima. C'è la luna, mezza mare. When I was a little kid, you know, they used to have this show on TV called the Joey Bishop Show. And my mother, may her soul rest in peace, used to watch it as she was playing in the background. You know, those days you only had one television. And I was a little kid. I'd come home from school to see Joey Bishop. And he had all these greats on there. And one of them, one I really, really liked, was a cat from Cuba. Yeah, and what was his name? Just skipped my mind. Anyway, he was supposed to be on a New Year's Day show. I remember Charo was his girlfriend, and she used to sing and carry a little chihuahua with her. And So New Year's Day comes along, and I turn on the television, and he's not there. And instead, there's Louis Prima. I never heard of this guy. And he comes dancing out on the stage. Boy, was he fun. And I fell in love with Louis Prima. And Louis Prima had a great line. He was a big hit in Vegas. He used to be the late show after the big shows ended. And all the great actors and actresses and singers, they used to go watch Louis Prima at night. And this cat was alive and jumping. From New Orleans. Siciliano from New Orleans. Anyway, he used to say, Xavier Cugat, that was the guy. Just came back into my mind that I was going to turn on TV to watch on New Year's Day. And he wasn't there. They said, in those days, the shows were live, by the way. And the announcer comes out and said that, you know, Xavier Cugat wasn't feeling well that day and taking his place as Louis Prima. And it was in those days, it was Louis Prima and Keeley Smith. Oh, what a voice she had. That old Black Magic, one of their great songs. Anyway, Louis Prima had a great saying. And it's lost today. None of the musicians seem to want to care about, I shouldn't say none. I would say that what they call jazz musicians today, that basically play for themselves. You go out and you hear a concert and you hear beep, 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 beep. You know, they hit notes that, you know, hey, look at that, huh? Louis Prima had a saying, play pretty for the people. Play pretty for the people. In those days, the entertainers entertained the people. It wasn't about, hey, look what I know. Don't you know who I am? I could play. They're not playing pretty for the people anymore. Or some of them, of course. There's Michael Arenella down in the city. You know, he does a great job for it. For jazz, really brings it alive. But, you know, the old sound is gone. Play pretty for the people. And of course, yesterday we just had an election. And there were off-time elections, you know, local elections. And I started thinking of, you know, what the candidates today and who they listen to and compared to a Louis Prima and the old greats. And when you know, musicians, you know, now everything is electronic. You know, you have to play a computer. You don't have to know how to play a trumpet like Louis Prima or Louis Armstrong. Anyway, in talking about politicians, Marco Rubio, you know, the Republican candidate over there. I love that guy. He reminds me of the guys I used to hate in high school and college that wanted to be class president and head of the student council. You know, the guys that were, and girls that were the insincere, the overly ambitious, the brown nosers and the suck-ups. And every time you watch him and they ask him a question, he goes into that, you know, that oratory that you're so phony. You know, he thinks he's at a college debate. He says absolutely nothing. He just repeats these phony scripted lines without giving a solution. Anyway, Marco Rubio's favorite star, according to him, you know, as I said, I love Louis Prima. Way Marie, way Marie. He likes Nicki Minaj. So I looked up one of Nicki Minaj's songs, and I'd like to repeat some of the lyrics in her songs. I get cracking like a bad back, bitch talking, she the queen, when she looking like a lab rat. I'm Angelina, you Jennifer. Come on, bitch, you see where Brad at. We ship platinum. Them bitches is shipping wood. Them nappy-headed hoes. But my kitchen good. I wish a bitch would. You a stupid hoe. 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 Yeah, you a stupid hoe. 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 Yeah, you a stupid hoe. Look, Bubbles, go back to your habit. And it goes on. I wonder if that was Rodgers and Hart that wrote those lyrics. Yeah, maybe Gershwin. Sounds more like Gershwin to me, you know. Can you imagine it? That's how low it's gone. And those are the lowlifes running for president. You know, keep it to yourself. You like this stuff? Great. You know, it's, you don't have to play an instrument to do it or have a lot of talent to sing it. Anyway, Louis Prima, Che La Luna Mezzama, but it really says a lot about what's going on in society and how low you can go. So let's look at some of the trends shaping the future and trends this week. And of course, to me, one of the big ones is when you listen to all the debates and you hear what's going on in the media and read it, all they do is talk about war, but nobody talks about peace. When we launched Occupy Peace on September 20th, and Gary Null, of course, was here, along with Ralph Nader and Cindy Sheehan, Dr. Robert Thurman, and others, we sent out over 360,000 press releases to the international media. And I've been at this a lot of years, pretty good doing press. We got the grand total of not one inch of coverage. For a program that really ties into what I'm going to be talking about, our peace program, which was an action plan. The next day, September 21st, was International Peace Day. Yeah, peace is off the radar for the press on that one, too. Barely coverage. But every day they promote war. Boy, do they promote war. You go to ball games, whatever it is. I don't go to them anymore. Sporting events. War, 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 war. And, you know, and calling our troops heroes. They're not. They're not heroes. A hero, by definition, is someone that, you know, does something in a heroic manner. Joining the military is not a hero's, you know, going shipped overseas, you're not a hero. It's kind of like when Donald Trump came after John McCain and said he's not a hero. And Trump was right. McCain's not a hero. His plane got shot down, bombing innocent people over Vietnam. And he was in a prison. That does not make you a hero. But anyway, that's the way the media does it now. Anything to have to do with war or killing, you're a hero. But peace is off the radar, which brings me back to our liar-in-chief or conmander-in-chief, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, who's gone back on virtually everything he promised to do as candidate Obama. But again, I understand this game because I used to run political campaigns in Westchester County at a graduate school in the 1970s. And I was the assistant to the president, the secretary of the New York State Senate. And I designed and instructed American politics and campaign technology, which I taught at St. John's University. So I understand the game. Hillary Clinton's playing it. They play the progressive card to win over the liberal element. And then as soon as they get in, they start changing the tune. So that's what Obama did. He played the progressive liberal card. Hey, remember his first day in office? I'm going to close Guantanamo in a year. Well, I guess a cat can't count to 365 days. Because here we are. He's going into the last year of his two-term presidency. And welcome to Guantanamo. We're going to turn it into a resort area now that all the prisoners are out of there. Oh, still there, huh? Anyway, goes back to his other lie. And we, you know, each weekday, we do Trends in the News broadcast as part of the subscription to the Trends Journal. And we did his backtrack Barack two-step on not sending ground troops into Syria. So we played the videos of him repeating over and over, no boots on the ground in Syria, no boots on the ground, no combat troops in Syria. And of course, now they're there. Goes back to Occupy Peace. Here we are, the USSA invading another country. Could anybody use that language? Not the prostitutes, not the ones that never talk about peace, not the prostitutes that always promote war. No, no, no. Yeah, whether it's the paper of record, the New York Times, or as I affectionately call it, the toilet paper of record. Remember how they sold us on that Iraq war with them aluminum tubes and yellow cakes? Yep, never talk about peace. So what do? They're not saying that this is an illegal invasion of a foreign nation. Going back to Occupy Peace, one of the tenets of Occupy Peace in the action plan is to force Congress to vote to go to war in keeping with the Constitution of the United States of America, which they have abrogated. So not only that, they make up this other thing called the War Powers Act. You know, so that gives the president the right to take overseas action, but he's obliged to seek authorization within 60 days of an overseas war. Now, the United States has been bombing away in Syria now. Hey, what is it? Probably going on, it's over a year probably, at least a good year. Or a bad year if you live in Syria, and there's no authorization. So they have this other phony thing called an authorization for the use of military forces. And that hasn't happened either. So Congress, the cowards of Congress, refuse to vote whether or not to go to war or even on the authorization for the use of military forces. So no vote has taken place. And the latest word is, according to Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Bob Corker of Tennessee, he's open to the idea of a vote for authorization for the use of military forces, and scheduled a briefing. But he said, however, he believes there's no urgency for such authorization. Bob Corker. What a corker. Current events form future trends. So one of the things you do each day is you read a lot. And here's the page 4 story in the Wall Street Journal about Corker. What a bunch of low lives we have as senators and congressmen in this country, with the exception of a very, very few. Corker profits from quick stock trades. GOP senator discloses a dozen previously unreported purchases in a little-known firm. In one previously unknown purchase, Mr. Corker, the lowlife from Tennessee. Oh, I guess I'm using my own language in there, huh? Purchased between $1 million and $5 million in shares of the firm CBL and Associates Properties in late 2001 and sold them 5 months later for 42% gain. Here's the deal. Grow up, everyone. The only reason you make a lot of dough is when you got the inside track. It's not that you wake up one morning and you sell the stock and make a 42% profit. A pair of purchases in 2009 and accounts in the name of his daughters. Hey, what are you hiding something, Corker? What do you have to put your daughters up there for? Well, we'll go on. Likely netted more than $1 million, though in that case, the exact gain is impossible to calculate. Can't pay your taxes? Having trouble paying your rent? Bills piling up? Got a lousy job? Hey, how about running for office? Yeah, maybe Corker could set you straight. How about the Clintons? Look at the dough that they raked in over the last, what, since 2014 or something? 2011, 2014, about $150 million. Oh, yeah, Bill Clinton gets $600,000 to do a talk for an hour. And Hillary, $300K. You could hear these people BS for free all day long. How about calling it a payback? But let's get back to Corker. The Corker, who says that there's no urgency. The United States should bomb any country they want and invade it. Big deal. It's only killing people. We got money to make and dirty inside deals to do. Some of Mr. Corker's newly disclosed trades came during a period of heightened security of financial investments by members of Congress. And as Mr. Corker was preparing to run for re-election in 2012. In a written statement to the Wall Street Journal last week, Mr. Corker said, quote, "They always do this when they get caught." Extremely disappointed in the filing errors that were made. You were extremely disappointed. They're extremely disappointed they got caught. So, goes back to War and Peace. Very little of it, and not much more to come, unless we the people demand it, because it's not happening. The whole thing is a global takeover. So what are some of the trends we're talking about? And by the way, there's another big trend that we're proud to announce as well, and that is a Florida retreat. Mind, body, and spirit. That's Gary Knoll's beautiful 30-acre setting in Southwest Florida. And what we're going to be doing there is having a conference, Prepare for 2012, featuring me and institute analysts and health and well-being experts. And there's never, ever, ever been a conference like this one. It's going to be held January 10th to 16th in Naples, and attendees will participate in a variety of not only trend enlightening views, information, how-tos, but life-enhancing experience by participating in a group of activities that you're never going to find anyplace else, formal presentations, and again, these beautiful surroundings that will also enhance self-reflection. You know, tracking trends. Could you imagine this? It's not taught in universities. I'm the only person that's wrote a trend-tracking book. And again, current events form future trends. As I was reading the Wall Street Journal today and finding the corker crap. Yeah, corker crap. That's what we should call it every time this guy opens his mouth. Corker crap. There's a story over here about liberal arts year low pay. And it's about how students at elite liberal arts colleges don't make as much 10 years after enrollment as those with highly selective research universities that attended those. So, here you got it. People are going to school and getting degrees in worthlessness. They teach you about history. You can learn about a lot about history on your own. I mean, after high school, you know, you learned enough. We could pick up books, plenty of them out there, and learn about it. Same with a lot of English and other liberal arts courses. But who teaches you how to look into the future? To see the emerging trends, to seize the opportunities and avoid the dangers? Well, we do. In each day, you know, that's our work. And that's what we're going to be doing at Prepare for 2016 conference in Naples, Florida. Every day, myself and other institute analysts are going to lead presentations on emerging trends in geopolitics, economics, aging, artful aging especially, health, pop culture, media, and much, much more. And again, I'm going to pass on to you the how-tos that have taken me a lot of years to learn. In 2016 will be my 36th year of trend forecasting. When I began the Trends Research Institute in 1980, I called it the Socioeconomic Research Institute of America. And there was a reason why. Because in those days, when you mentioned to anybody that you were a trend forecaster, they say, oh, what do? Music trends? Fashion trends? That's about as deep trend as trends went. And I say, no, you know, we look at geopolitics, economics, environment. And by the way, I coined the term clean foods. And I'm sure there's a lot of clean food fans that are listening in right now on the Progressive Radio Network, because that's what it's about, living healthy, spiritually, physically, and mentally. I did that in the late 80s. New York Times did a story on it in the early 90s. So again, it wasn't only looking about economics. When that's all economists do, they pour through economic data, but they don't look through the connections. And so the other big trend I came out with in the late 1980s was bottled water. Again, ties into economics in many, many different ways. The bottled water trend is so big that next year in the United States, they're going to be selling more bottled water than soda pop at stores. So that's the kind of things you're going to get and learn at the upcoming retreat. And anybody wants to sign up and register, they could call Taryn Clark at the Trends Research Institute, 845-331-3500. It's Taryn with a T, Taryn Clark. The Trends Research Institute, 845-331-3500. And of course, seating will be limited. We like to keep the groups at a very workable size because it's going to be a very intense and fun-filled and rewarding few days to refuel, refocus, and rejuvenate at the upcoming Prepare for 2016 retreat in Naples. And people rave about this facility and the life-changing power of the experience. So, go to our website as well, trendsresearch.com, and you'll see more about the conferences and more of what we do. So moving on to the trends and going back and tying it all together. Right now, we're in a very strange place economically, geopolitically, and of course, environmentally all the time. We're always on the edge. I mean, here we are. What is it? November 4th? Is that 70 degrees outside up here in Kingston, New York? I'll sit outside later and read some of the papers and get a little sun. Anyway, there was a story in yesterday's. I went back to everything. Everything is connected. I just read to you the fraud that this guy Corker is, a disgrace of a human being that is defying the Constitution by not forcing Congress to vote whether or not to go to war. And then you see his little dirty deals. Oh, no, no, I did these deals on my own. I figured it out with pencil and paper on a graph and pie charts. Yeah, that's how I made a 42% gain on my investment. So anyway, when you look at it and you tie it all together, you see how big the criminality, how the fish rots from the head down, and why so many people, hey, you saw the numbers that came out. What is it? 63% of Americans earn less than $40,000. Before taxes. But when you're a fat cat and you're on the inside track, you get the big deals. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. In yesterday's Financial Times front page story, ECB officials met bankers before big policy moves. Oh, isn't that nice? Met bankers before big policy moves. How's that for prostitute lingo? Huh? How's that for shading the truth? These guys, because of a Freedom of Information Act that the Financial Times went through to get some of the diaries of the people that sat and sit on the boards of the European Central Bank, shows them meeting with people such as asset managers from BlackRock right before meetings. Meetings with hedge fund operators. Meetings with private equity group deal makers. Meeting with bankers such as BNP Paribas, on the morning of September 4th, the day the ECB's governing council surprised markets by cutting interest rates. It also announced it would begin buying private sector assets to save the Eurozone's economy from the threat of deflation. It shows you how they met with one hedge fund, private equity group, asset manager, and banker just before their meetings. Did they spill the beans and give them an inside track on the deal? Oh, no. No, they were just having tea and crumpets. The game is rigged. It's bankism. It's a takeover. And, as a paisano of mine used to call it, it's fascism, because that's what Mussolini called it. The merger of state and corporate powers. Hey, you sign up for your new round of Obama, I don't care yet? Yeah, the Affordable Health Care Act. Yeah, affordable? Affordable if you got between a 10 and 20% increase in pay last year, or maybe you hung out with Corker and did a 42% gain on a $4 million bet. Oh, you don't have $4 million to bet. Why, you should run for Congress or hang out with Corker or the rest of them. Pelosi, one after another. Multi-millionaires doing inside deals. Well, anyway, going back to fascism, and the game is rigged, and Obamacare, they could care less. Rates are skyrocketing for lousy deals, like the bronze deal. The bronze deal, yeah. What do you got to pay? Some $5,000 in out-of-pocket health care before the plan kicks in? Well, that one's only going up on average about, as I said, depending on whose numbers you look at, up to 20%. Fascism, the merger of state and corporate powers. We the people are being forced to buy lousy, rotten, stinking, low-life insurance policies from private groups that go back to, again, all things are connected. Mergers and acquisitions, they're becoming even greater giants. The consolidation of wealth in monopolies and oligarchies. Oligarchs run the show. It's all it is. Sempre baccalare del mano bene. Se ci picchia bandi si è baccalare picchia me. This is just a perfect example. Our rotted, stinking infrastructure. Third world infrastructure. Time Warner, yep. Yeah. It just went down, popped back up, alarms went off. But we got money to fight wars, folks. Yeah, that's okay. We could fight wars, folks, because we got to get them ISISs and those other bad guys around the world. So, we're back. As I was saying, it's a merger of state and corporate powers. It's called fascism, and it's in front of us in every way at every level. And again, The media keeps selling us on war. You pick up any paper, and it's always more and more war talk. Here's the front page of the Wall Street Journal, for example. There's a picture of a woman, a 59-year-old woman in Afghanistan who lost her husband, an army commander, is one of many war widows left behind. A12. This is a huge picture. Look how they sell the Afghan war. The longest war in American history with no end in sight. And again, the liar in chief. Hey, folks, we're going to be out of Afghanistan. Don't worry, folks. And then what does he do? Well, we're going to cut those troop strengths down to 5,000. By the end of 2015, I tells you. Well, I decided to lie. Oh, no. It's not lying, it's changing your mind. I got it confused because people always correct me. When Obama says he's not going to have boots on the ground and puts them over there, that's not a lie. That's just changing his mind. And when he says he's going to be out of Afghanistan and he's not, that's not a lie. He just changed his mind. So that's what it is. And we are living in a country that, by every indicator, is on a downward spiral. Again, we have these problems with our, all the time, with our connections. We have internet connections that are third world rate when you compare them to the much of the rest of the world. And we have an infrastructure, transportation infrastructure, that is truly third world. Anybody that flies around the world and flies back into the United States, landing at Kennedy and taking the car in and looking at the junk and garbage all over the street in this old rickety terminal that you come back into, you wonder what country you're at. And then you get in the subway. How about a, you know, how about a train trip to Calcutta? But we have money for war, and they keep promoting it, just like they're doing with the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Every day, every day. Oh, the other big one was, you know, the beheadings in Saudi Arabia. No, they never talk about that, huh? Well, they're up to 180, I think, right now. But boy, talk about a lost guy in who fought the army in Afghanistan. That should not be a front page story, except when you want to keep selling war. So on to the economy again. It's a global slowdown. The markets are going up for one reason and one reason only. Record low interest rates. That's all. Merger and acquisition activity right now at $4 trillion is on track to break all-time records. They're borrowing the money for nothing and gobbling up other firms, as you keep seeing day after day after day after day after day after day, one after another. And of course, stock buybacks, borrowing money for nothing, buying back stocks, driving up stocks to new highs around the world. But when you look at, in the real world, median household income in the United States, for example, is below 1999 levels. So when you look at the global slowdown, it's real. China, for example, has just announced, for years they were saying, you know, they're going to have a 7% and above GDP growth rate each year. Well, it's down to 6.5 now. And those numbers, of course, are hard to believe as well. Are they really, you know, coming in at what they're saying? Just like they lie about the numbers here. Oh, and by the way, Friday's the big day here in the States. When the new job numbers come out, yeah, they're looking for creation over 200,000 jobs. And of course, they're jobs that pay nothing. Jobs that why you go to school and get one of those liberal arts degrees and can't make money when you get out. You know, those kind of jobs. Waiters, waitresses, or they love to call it a hospitality sector. Degrees in worthlessness. Another scam. The kind of money that you're charging people to go to school to have assistant adjunct professors teach you, paying them nothing, while the administrations make all this dough. And I'm tired of this non-for-profit stuff, too. People are living in a lap of luxury, and they don't pay taxes, and the rest of us have to. Who made this stuff up? And they talk about the separation of church and state. To me, churches, synagogues, I don't care who you believe in. If, you know, you believe Mary was a virgin, Buddha was born out of lotus blossom, and Moses came down with 10 commandments, you know, hey, knock yourself out. But don't tell me you don't have to pay taxes because you believe in that thing and you have your show going on. Let's make it equal. How about a separation of church and state? Let's call it equal. Because if nonprofits had to pay taxes, we would all be sitting pretty and I wouldn't have to be paying, or you wouldn't have to be paying, the school and property taxes they're raping us for, as all of these other people are getting a free ride because they're getting all of the services. Oh, we provide, you know, we provide special needs. So do I. I provide people information that's very valuable. But I'm not a non-for-profit. So, again, it's all tied in. And the tie-in is that when you're tied into the top, you rake in the dough. So as we're looking at what's going on globally, it's a global slowdown. There's no reason for the markets to go up. The price-to-earning ratios of stocks are blown way out of proportion. And again, the prices are going up because of the buybacks in many cases. You're looking at the new numbers coming out on corporate profits, and they're dismal overall, according to Bloomberg. So we're in a general slowdown. It's a time to look in new directions. We're also going to see more and more opportunities, oddly enough, as this merger and acquisition activity continues to expand. Yes, they will control more of a lot. But what they control is bigger sectors. And they lose other groups within that sector that are not financially big enough for them to do business in. So that leaves other profit opportunities. Take, for example, Whole Foods, which I call, of course, the Walmart of fast foods, health foods. And I mean, to me, going into one of those places, it's, you know, anathema to the whole health food, healthy experience. You can get online and get your number. Anyway, and again, I read about this guy years ago, how he did deals that, you know, that hurt other companies and put them out of business. Well, that was what was reported. So, you know, saying things on the internet about the finances of other companies that he was looking to buy out. The point being is that their stock is going down and smaller outlets are gaining leverage now. There's gaps that are left when the bigs merge. You look at a Walmart, for example. They're cutting back on the amount of different product that's being offered. They're trying to consolidate their inventory so they could have better earnings ratios, because they're losing it now. Too much product, not enough people to buy it. So they're leaving market gaps. In the old days, for example, you'd go into a stationery store. You'd have many, 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 many more opportunities to buy many, many different products than you can now, because it's all consolidated in the hands of a few. Staples, now when they buy out that other one, Office Depot. So they're only buying limited amount of product. So with the consolidation also comes opportunity. And that's what a lot of trends research is about. Finding the opportunities while the masses are following just the noise, the big profits, and the very obvious opportunities. But again, it's mind, body, and spirit. It's not one-dimensional. And again, I really would urge you to consider signing up for Prepare for 2016. You're not going to find anything like it. Matter of fact, we have a video that's available. We have conferences here in Colonial Kingston as well. And Gary Knowles in the video. You can get it at our website, trendsresearch.com. It was our last conference we had here, just prior to the Occupy Peace Rally, Peace and Prosperity Conference. And also on this video, along with me, is Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. For those of you who don't know who he is, why, he was the former Treasury Secretary under Ronald Reagan. Hate Reagan, love Reagan, not the issue. You're going to hear inside information, insights and analysis, guaranteed you won't find anywhere else in the world. Money back guarantee. Get the video, you don't like it, yep. You have access for it's days worth of, you know, I forgot how many hours it is, but it's a two-day comp, you know, tons of video information in it. You don't like it, you get your money back. I'm urging you to consider buying this video and logging on to it to give you just a small idea of how great this conference in Florida is going to be. Because this was just a two-day conference that we have over here in Kingston. By the way, it was held at the Academy, the 1774 Academy building. That's right. And we're on the most historic four corners in the United States. But when you see the energy, feel and see the insights of that energy, the analysis, the opportunities, unique. You won't find it anywhere else. And of course, you're not going to find it on mainstream media because, as you well know, those of you who are tuning in, that six companies control 90% of all of it. So, moving back to the trends in the news, you keep going through the papers, and it's one big story after another. One after another. Beyond Corker, beyond China downgrading its GDP expectations. You also have a wonderful story here in the Financial Times. Banks face capital call for commodity disaster costs. We are looking at a bubble here that has been blown up. They're estimating that since this whole quantitative easing scheme began, central banks around the world doing it, and now talking about negative interest rates, some $200 trillion has been pumped into this bubble. $200 trillion. And again, at a time when everybody else's income is going down, as our wages fluctuate between stagnation and decline, you're looking at a bubble that has been built. So that brings us to another aspect of trend forecasting. I'm still bullish on gold, even though gold is getting pummeled. I look at gold for my golden years. And I'm not a financial analyst. This is not financial advice. I'm a forecaster, trend forecaster. When I put all the pieces together about how the war is building, how the economy is slowing, how we're looking at job creation, creating crummy jobs. There's going to become a point when all of these negative interest rates, which is, by the way, is unheard of in the history of the world, part one or part two, you're buying an Italian bond for negative interest rates, Swiss bonds, German bonds. What that means is what you pay for the bond now, when you cash it in 10 years, because you're a nice guy, I'm going to give you less money than you paid for it. You cannot make this up. So what I'm saying is they're devaluing the currencies with negative interest rates, 0% interest rates, and even if they raise interest rates in the Fed coming up in December, what are they going to bring them up, 25 basis points? But you can see with even this little bit of rate increase, you're looking at new mortgage applications now going on a decline. Those are the facts. The decline is underway as soon as rates go up, because you need cheap dough to keep Ponzi fat and alive. So that's why, going back to gold, and why I'm still bullish on it. And I really urge everybody to look past the language of the prostitutes, because, again, all things are connected. We are on the precipice of a great geopolitical explosion from the wars in the Middle East. And the one no one talks about virtually is the slaughter being committed by the Saudis and their Arab League affiliates, along with the United States and now Italy, supplying the Saudis with armaments, and the United States supplying them with reconnaissance, intelligence, air refueling, and armaments, that are slaughtering thousands of innocent Yemenis for no provocation on their behalf. A foreign nation invading another nation, the poorest nation in the Middle East. So what does this mean? Where am I going with it? We used to say in the Bronx, payback's a bitch. They're slaughtering innocent people. Some 4 million Yemenis live in Saudi Arabia, particularly working in the oil fields. Look what happened to oil prices yesterday. They went up sharply because they can't pump the stuff out of Libya anymore. They had to close down the oil ports. What if that happens in Saudi Arabia, in Kuwait, and other rich Arab oil states that are bombing innocent people that want to seek revenge because they've destroyed everything that they loved and everywhere that they lived? You're going to see oil prices. You're going to see economic panic that again makes something like gold valuable. So those are some of the insights. Those are some of the analysis. And until next week, we'll see you again. Keep your eyes on the news. And remember, watch the language in the media. This is not a migrant crisis going on in Europe. It's a refugee crisis caused by the wars launched by the United States and its coalition of the killing. So language in what you're reading is very important to break through. And those are the kind of things we're also going to be teaching at the upcoming retreat and conference. As you prepare for 2016, to seize the opportunities and avoid the dangers. And the dangers are lurking. They're lurking on the economic front and the geopolitical front, because all they're doing is selling more war. Look what's going on in China, with the United States making this claim against China for dredging out these tiny little islands and sending warships next to them. History is repeating itself. You could read the language in the book by War's a Racket by General Smedley Butler, the most decorated Marine in history when he wrote that book. And it sounds exactly as the United States was talking about Japan just prior to World War II. The language is almost similar to doing it now with China. And remember the deal that Obama put together with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that we, the little people, are not allowed to read from the transparent president that's a transparent liar that promised us transparency. Well, that Trans-Pacific Partnership that we're not allowed to read, that robs us more of our rights, they didn't put China in the deal. So, you're looking at the same kind of scenario setting up that began prior to World War II. The crash of 1929, the Great Depression, currency wars. Hey, well, didn't China just devalue their currency? And they're blaming that for the stock market decline this past summer. Oh, I forgot that, huh? Currency wars, trade wars. Well, they're devaluing that currency so they could sell more stuff because their currency's cheaper. World wars. We got to stop them Chinese over there. Yeah, they're becoming very aggressive. And we have to protect our allies. You could hear it coming from them. The words from the generals and the politicians and the president and the secretaries of states, past to present. We have to protect our allies, particularly the Vietnamese. Hey, gee, I remember when I was draft bait age back in 1965, prime draft age. We had to go conquer those Vietnamese. Couldn't trust them. They were commies. And if we didn't stop them dominoes from falling, before you know it, they'd be hitting the shores of California. But now they're our great ally. Yeah, and signed on to that Trans-Pacific Partnership where Nike and all the other multinational companies could get their products made by slave labor and sell them to you at a nice profit. Hey, it's America. And this is Gerald Celente. And that's just some of today's Trends This Week. Sit on your bishop, eat the venison, a buckle out of the banana.